I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look in verse 6. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is the great chapter on faith. In fact, he began in verse 1 and said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In other words, faith is going to bring hope into reality in my life. Isn't that right? See, a lot of us are operating on hope. That's future tense. We're hoping something will get done. But God says we need to operate in faith to get something done. In fact, in Hebrews 11, 6, he goes on down here and he says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," him being God, "for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So praying isn't enough, is it? What do you mean praying isn't enough? Well, you know, a lot of people are praying every day and not getting any results. It's how you pray. It's following the directions to prayer. Notice here that he says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then he says, "He that comes to God must believe that he is." In other words, if I'm going to come to God in prayer, I'm going to have to come to him in faith, aren't I? Amen. In other words, I'm going to have to come to God believing he is. Not going to be, not was, but he is. Amen. I like to say it this way. I need to come to God believing he is God and I'm not, and he can take care of it for me. Amen. And so we come to God believing he is. Believing he is what? He is able to do for us what he said he would do. But there's something else you got to believe if you're going to come to God in prayer. You got to believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him or inquire of him or ask of him. In other words, why pray if you don't believe God's going to answer? Why go to God and pray if you don't expect results? Amen? So if I'm going to pray, the first thing I need to establish in my heart is this. I believe God's going to hear me and God's going to grant to me that which I'm asking, and I'm going to be rewarded with a result in my life that's going to change my situation. Amen? And you see, I say change my situation because you've got to understand something. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes things. I'm going to say it again. In James chapter 1, James said that there's no variation with God, no shadow of turning. He's always the same. Hebrews 13, 6 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so, therefore, we need to realize that when I'm praying, I'm not going to change God. I'm not praying to change God. He don't need to change. He's perfect already. Amen? What am I going to do? I'm praying to change my situation. I'm praying to change the things around me. I'm praying to have God move in my behalf to help me in my situation and to reward me with a victory in that instead of me walking in defeat. Amen? So therefore, he that comes to God, and prayer is coming to God, isn't it? Amen? Prayer is us approaching God. And then he says this, when we approach God, we have to come to God with faith. We have to come to God. That word faith there can also be with, translated trust. Without trusting God, it's impossible to please him. Now, what's that mean? That means if I'm going to come to God in faith today, I'm going to come to God trusting him that he's going to hear me, that he's going to remove in my behalf and reward me with a change in my situation. Amen? In other words, I have to come to God. If I'm believing God for healing for my body, guess what I need to do? I need to believe that God is my healer. And if I'll come to him in faith and believe and release my faith, God will reward me with the healing that I need. In other words, God will change my situation for me. Amen? If I come to God and there's problems going on in the home, the enemy's attacking me, and I pray for God to give me direction and God give me boldness and God give me authority to do these things, then guess what? I have to trust that God's going to hear me and grant me the strength and the power to stand up against those attacks and walk through that thing and get victory in my life. Amen? Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, I want to read it to you out of the Amplified. It reads it like this. "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it." Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. What's that mean? That means that, praise God, I am to come boldly. I'm to come with confidence. I'm to come fearlessly to the throne of God. I'm approaching God in faith. I'm approaching God in trust. I'm approaching God like I have a right to be there. Amen? And even if I've missed it, I can come to God and get His mercy, not His judgment. Well, come on, you got to hear this. I can come to God and get His mercy for my failures, and He'll forgive me, and then He will still bring to me blessing in my life. Hallelujah. Come on. Why? Because my prayer getting answered isn't on my perfection. My prayer getting answered is me believing in God's perfection. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. This is why the devil defeats us all the time. He thinks if you don't have everything just right and you're not perfect and you know if you messed up one little thing, then God's probably not going to hear you and you're probably not going to get anything. Now you're trying to base your prayer on your good works and on your person instead of God and His person. Amen? But he that comes to God doesn't believe that I am perfect, therefore God's going to reward me. I come and believe that He is perfect and He's going to take care of me. Hallelujah. And when I come to Him, I'm going to ask Him to forgive me if I've messed up, and I'm going to say, Lord, I need some mercy right here. How many of you know that most of the time we get in trouble not because we're doing everything right, but maybe because we missed it somewhere? Anybody besides me, huh? Come on. Now, there are times, folks, that you can be walking in God's perfect will, doing everything just right, and there is a devil out there, and he'll come and attack you. Amen? You don't have to have missed it to get in trouble. Anybody found that out? Somebody said they went to Brother Hagin one time and said, Brother Hagin, would you pray for me? Had tears in their eyes. Just all kinds. I mean, just a very serious thing. And he said, well, what would you have me pray for? And this person said, it was the gentleman, said, would you pray for me that the devil will leave me alone and never attack me again? And Brother Hagin said, what do you want me to do, pray that you die and go to heaven? He said, oh, no, no. He said, I just want the devil to quit bothering me. He said, well, brother, he said, if I could pray that, I'd pray for myself. Hallelujah. Amen. No, as long as we're on the earth, we're going to be attacked. There's a thief that's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. And he's against us, and the devil's out to stop the move of God and the blessings of God in our lives. And so we can come boldly with confidence, and we can come with assurance, and we can come fearless before the throne of God's grace and God's mercy. And if we have missed it, thank God we can receive mercy, amen? And then we can receive His help, well-timed help, right-on-time help coming from God, amen? So what we've got to do is learn how to approach the throne of God. How am I going to get myself in faith? How am I going to get myself into a place where I can have boldness, confidence, and come fearlessly before God's throne and believe that I'm going to walk away from that throne with God's blessing in my life? See, until you get that in your heart, there's really no use in praying. Amen. Most of the you know, for a lot of believers, the biggest waste of time is their prayer time. Because it's usually not prayer time, it's complain time, whine time, cry time, woe is me time, hope you do something for me God time, and walk away feeling like, well, praise God. You believe you got that? I don't know. Then why did you even go? Amen. I mean, most of us, we don't even have any idea why we're praying. We're kind of like the shopper, you know, you go into the store and you got somebody walking around through the aisles. It says it's a grocery store, and they're walking around through the aisles with their shopping cart. And after about an hour and a half, they just push the cart over, and it's empty, and they walk out the door. And you say, would you get your groceries? Well, no, I believe in God I did. Well, what'd you come for? Well, I don't know. I just was checking to see if there's something there I might like. Amen. Well, you think there's something wrong with that person. They got some marbles loose somewhere. Amen. They lost them. You know. No, just being a shopper in your prayer life is not going to get you the blessing. Amen. You have to be a buyer. Amen. Everybody's gotten to know me over the years while I'm here. If I go into a shop where they're selling stuff for men's, they know that if they know me, if they recognize me, they immediately come running over and ask me if they can help me. Because they know I'm not there shopping. And I wouldn't show up if I didn't need to get something. Amen. So I came to get something specifically, and they're going to work with me to get it. Praise God. Amen. Well, when we come to God, we ought not just come to God in general. We ought not just come to God, hope so, maybe so, and just plead our, you know, and whine and cry and tell him all the problems. We should come to God in faith with specific requests, believing that he is God and that we can come boldly with confidence that he will hear us and bring to us the blessing we need in the time we need it. Amen. So how am I going to do that? 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. John the apostle is writing to us here, and he gives us some great things. And I want to give you three basic steps that you can find here. There are many more than these, but these three steps will help you in your prayer time as we're praying and as we're believing God, because God wants to use us to bring a great revival to the nation. God wants to use you to bring great blessings into your home. Hallelujah. God wants to use you to help change people's lives. He wants to use you to see people get healed, delivered, and set free. And how can he do that? Well, prayer changes things. Amen. But it's got to be the right kind of prayer to change things. Hallelujah. So let's look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. John says, now this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence. That word confidence in the Greek means all outspokenness, boldness, and assurance. So he says, this is the confidence, the assurance, the boldness, the all outspokenness. In other words, absolutely no fear of saying what we're going to do. This is the confidence that we have in him. I like that. This is the confidence that we have in him. Not in us, but in him. We're just going to Selah here for a moment. Praise God. What do you mean? Pause and think on that. Hallelujah. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying, this is the confidence. This is the assurance. This is the boldness that we have in God. See, my confidence isn't in me. My confidence isn't in my worthiness. My confidence isn't not in my good works. My confidence isn't that I know all the scriptures and that I'm walking around here with perfection. My confidence is in him. Hallelujah. I'm believing God. God is the one I'm looking for. He's my help. He's my strength. He's the rewarder. He's the one that's going to release grace and mercy into my life. Amen. So he goes on and says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked or desired of him. Amen. In other words, he's talking about prayer here. Amen. And notice this, that he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. The Amplified reads it like this. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness. Hallelujah. See, it brings out the Greek definition of confidence. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. Hallelujah. My confidence is in God. I believe he is my deliverer. I believe he is my provider. I believe he is the one that's going to change the situation. I believe he is the God of more than enough. Amen. I believe that he is the God who raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand, up far above all principality and power and every name and every title that can be conferred, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And then he raised me up and seated me in heavenly places with him. Hallelujah. And he is Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Come on, I got to have confidence in that. You got to know who you're talking to when you say our Heavenly Father. Amen. You got to know that this is Almighty God. This is El Shaddai from the Old Testament, the Almighty God, the God who is more than enough. And he says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure. Woo, glory to God. That's powerful, isn't it? Not say we hope so, maybe so, but we are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. Now, here's where we've got to get a hold of something. When I read that verse there in 1 John 5, verse 14, he says that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That means that there are some prayers that God apparently doesn't hear. Come on. I mean, if there's a certain way that he hears us, then there's a certain way he won't hear us. Amen? I looked up the word hear, and it means to give audience to or hearken to. If we pray according to his will, God hearkens to us and gives us audience. Now, somebody says, I just don't get that. Well, you've been around people before, and they've talked to you, and you was listening, but you didn't hear them. Come on. Amen. My wife accuses me of that all the time. She'll come to me and say, honey, you know, we got to go here early. I told you this 2 days ago. And I look at her and said, you did what? Yeah, I came right in here and sat down and told you that on Wednesday evening we have to be there such and such a time because I'm doing this. I go, you didn't tell me that. Oh, yes, I did. And so finally I just have to go, well, okay. You know what? I didn't hear. Okay, I told her, I said, here's what you have to do. You have to get right in my face whenever I'm studying busy because you know what? I'm not giving you audience. My focus is something else. And what you're saying to me is not registering. Okay? Well, here's the thing, folks. God is attentive to his word. God is attentive to the prayers of the saints. In fact, you know, Peter wrote and said, his eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. So God is open to hear our prayers, but there are some prayers God won't hear. What kind of prayers does God not hear? Selfish prayers, fear-filled prayers, desperation prayers, need prayers. Somebody says, oh, what do you mean, Pastor? God would hear if I'm praying for my need. No, no, no. If God just heard need prayers, we'd all get our prayers answered because we all have need. How many of you found out that God doesn't just hear you because you have a need? Huh? So there are prayers that God will hear and give audience to and hearken to and work with. And there are apparently prayers that God doesn't hear. God doesn't hear a prayer of desperation. God doesn't hear a prayer of me, you know, whining and crying and fussing and complaining. Amen. What's God going to hear? He's going to hear a prayer according to his will. And here's where we miss it again. We want to attach, if it be thy will, Lord, to everything we pray, because we've misinterpreted 1 John 5:14. Well, if he hears us, so I'm going to pray, if it be God's will, then God will hear me, and God will answer my prayer. And we attach it, Lord, heal so-and-so if it be thy will. And you know what we're doing? Here's the problem with that. We're putting all the responsibility over on God. But you see, prayer is God and me working together. It is me releasing my faith and trust in him and presenting him the situation, and it is God then acting upon that and working in my behalf. Amen? And so here's the thing. You've got to read it again. The reason I want to look at the Amplified, he shows you what he's talking about if you ask according to his will. He's not saying, attach if it be thy will. He's saying, pray according to his will. Amen? And if you pray according to his will, then God will hear you. Read it again. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, the Amplified brings it out, in agreement with his own plan, he listened to and hears us. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. The first step in me getting my prayer answered is this. I need to know God's will and find scripture that covers my situation. Amen? Before I even pray. Somebody says, well, I don't know if it's God's will. How do I know God's will? Well, Psalm 119:105, he talks about the entrance of his word gives light. Psalm 119:130, he talks about thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what he's talking about? He's saying, if you don't know what God's word is, then you're walking in darkness. But if you know what God's word is, then you're walking in the light of his will. Amen? So you know why our prayers aren't working most of the time? It's because we're praying to God before we've gone to his word to find out a scripture to stand on to talk to him about. I'm praying too soon. If I don't have scripture, if I'm not enlightened to his will, if I don't know what his word says, then how can I pray according to his will? How can I have confidence? How can I walk up to Tony and you know, and I don't know what's, you know, I think, you know, now where would he enjoy having his favorite breakfast? You know, maybe I can take him to, but would you like to go to Bob Evans? Would you like to go here? Would you like to go there? And, you know, and he looks at me and kind of, you know, yeah. And I know I'm not, he's not really hearing me. I don't have audience with him yet. But I go to his wife, Jessica. I say, hey, where is his favorite breakfast place? Waffle House. I go to, hey, Tony, would you like to go to Waffle House? I say, oh, yes, hallelujah. I mean, I have confidence that he's going to go with me for breakfast. Amen. Why? Because I found the word as to what he desires and what his will is. Amen? Well, you know, we do people that way. Why shouldn't we know that we should do God that way? And you see, he said, without faith, you can't please him. So Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So you know what I need to do before I go pray and ask God to move in a situation? I should go to his word and find out what he says about that situation. And then when I approach God, I approach him with his word, because his word is his will. James 1:12 said he watches over his word to perform it. Isaiah 55:11 says his word will not return him void. It'll produce what he sent it to do. Amen. So if I need God to move in a certain area in my life, before I even pray, I should go to his word and find out what his word says and settle it in my heart. This is God's will for me. Well, maybe I should pray. You know, I've been fighting off this sickness and this pain in my body. And so I just thought I'd pray. And if it's God's will to heal me, he'll do it. You'd get just as much, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious or anything, but you get just as much results by going to God and saying, Dear Heavenly Father, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Because it ain't going to work. So how am I going to pray with a surety and confidence and be sure that he hears me? I'm going to go to his word and put his word in my heart. John 15:7 says this. Jesus speaks and he gives us this. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Woo, glory to God. What positions me with God in prayer that God will do for me what I'm asking if I'm abiding in him? In other words, I'm living for Jesus. Amen. I'm in this thing, praise God. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. I'm living for God. I'm not perfect, but I'm all in, praise God. I'm abiding in him. I'm praising him every day. I'm spending time in his word, and all of a sudden, his word begins to live in me. To abide means to take up residence, amen? In other words, his word has come alive. I know what his will is. I know it's his will to heal me. I know it's his will to deliver me. I know it's his will to make me whole. Why? Because I've got the scripture for it. I've got Bible verses I can stand on. Hallelujah. And I'm going to help you, folks. From Genesis to Revelation, don't limit God. Well, the Old Testament is just the Old Covenant. It's just for the Jews. No, it's not. It's for all of us. Jesus didn't do away with the Old Covenant. He fulfilled it. Hallelujah. And if that's the case, don't read any Psalms anymore. Because Psalms, last time I checked, was in the Old Testament. Amen? But still, we'll read those Psalms, won't we? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, Psalm 103. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. I claim it in Jesus' name. No, it's Old Testament. If it doesn't start in Matthew, you don't get it. No, it does. Hallelujah. Amen. He's just as much El Shaddai to me today as he was when he spoke to Abraham. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And so God tells us, go to my word. Go and spend time with me. See, a lot of times, folks, we're praying, and we're not praying in faith. We're praying out of need. We're praying out of desperation. We're praying because we're hurting. We're praying because it's tough. And we're praying, but we need to go to God's word first. All you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, show me in the Scriptures. Give me a word here. I need something to stand on. I need something to base my faith on. And I'm going to believe God. So you get into the Word. And so the very first step that we have to take is to find you a Scripture to stand on. See, if somebody came up to you and said, okay, you're believing God for such and such, yeah, but what verses are you standing on? Well, you know, some people answer, well, none in particular. I like to say, well, that's what you're going to get from God. Nothing in particular. Why? Because God hears us when we pray according to His will. And His Word is His will. Amen? Somebody come up and say, well, how can you believe you're going to get healed? Well, because 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. And I've asked God to heal me based on 1 Peter 2:24, not based on my goodness, not based on my good works, not based on my knowledge of the Bible, not based on anything other than the fact that it's His will to heal me because He said so. Amen? And I just believe God's going to take care of me. Well, how do you, you got all these bills facing you. How, you know, and you went to God and prayed, asked God to help you to take care of those bills? Yeah. Well, how can you walk around here not fretting and worrying and just, you know, just going crazy? Well, because I read over in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I figured yours, me, and it's my need and His riches. So I just believe God according to His word. And I ask Him to meet this need. And so you know what? I've entered into rest, and I just thank God that it's coming in. Hallelujah. God's going to lead me right into the place of victory and provision because I've asked Him to. That's my reward for going to Him in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? How can I have that kind of confidence? My confidence is in what God said He will bring to pass. He'll do it. Amen. So therefore, I'm going to pray. So what's my first step in getting into God's presence and getting Him to hear me? Find you Scripture and get it in you until it comes alive in you. Get it so, you see, to abide means to take up its dwelling place in you. That Scripture is so real in me, the devil can't steal it. And you can't talk me out of it. And symptoms can't cause me to get in doubt and think it's not happening. Amen. Circumstances not changing immediately doesn't make me waver because my foundation is the Word of God. My prayer is built on the Word of God, and God will make His Word come to pass in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. The second step is this. Down here in verse 15, he goes on, he says, and if since we positively know, man, that's good, isn't it? And if we positively, since we positively, I mean, you know, you're walking around, everybody else is fretting, worrying, wringing their hands, telling you you're not going to make it, and wondering, you know, they're just, bless this heart, he's so bad off, he's lost his mind. Some of you need to lose your mind and get God's mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you go down that New Life Church, they'll brainwash you and get you to believe, and you can get things that you can't see. Well, I know a lot of Christians need their brains washed. Hallelujah. Amen. Wash the worldliness right out of it. Wash the silliness out of it. Wash the religion out of it. And just clean it up real good with the Word of God. Amen. Somebody says, oh, you're just making that up. No, I'm not. John 15:3, Jesus said, now are you clean through the Word which I spoke to you. Amen. In other words, He's going to clean you up through His Word, but you got to let it get in you. But the second one, He says here in verse 15 again, and it's since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge. In other words, we're just absolutely positively committed to it. Not coming off of it. As far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. Amen. God heard me. He's going to do it. Hallelujah. They have granted to us the present possessions, the requests made of Him. What's the second step? You have to believe that you receive what you ask for. You're going to have to believe you receive it. Mark 11:24, we saw that in the King James when Pastor Josh brought it out in a session before. He said, the King James says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. When you pray. The New King James says, whatever you ask for when you pray. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. So what's he saying? He's saying whatever you're desiring God to do for you, Once you've gotten Scripture to stand on, and you approach Him with holiness, and you approach Him with respect and a reverence, and you come to Him with confidence. See, boldness is not arrogance, folks. Are you hearing me? Boldness is just an attitude of you being there. You having a right to be there. I can remember, you know, whenever my grandkids were smaller, I would have I had a drawer back in my office, and it was always full of candy. And so, you know, the grandkids would come back. Jaden first, you know, because he's old, and he got big enough to get back there. And then Cademan, when Anna was up here. And so they'd come. And after church on whatever it was, you know, they'd come back to my office, and they'd go straight to that candy drawer. It had a variety of all kinds of candies in it. And so, you know, they wouldn't get one. They would have suckers and chocolates and things in both hands. I mean, as much as they could carry out in those little hands. And they'd sit there in my office and eat it all. And my kids would come to me and say, "Dad, you can't give the kids that kind of candy. That's Wednesday night. That won't be. They'll be up till 1 o'clock in the morning." I said, "So they ain't gonna bother me. I'm going to bed. They ain't gonna live in my house." Hallelujah. But you know, they weren't arrogant about it. That was Pawpaw's office. That's Pawpaw's candy. And if it's his, it's mine. And they just walked in there with the confidence and assurance that Pawpaw was not going to say they couldn't have that candy. And in fact, when Mom and Dad came in and tried to stop it, Pawpaw was going to defend them to eat that candy. Hallelujah. Amen. So they walked in there. It wasn't arrogance. It was a confidence. It was a boldness. It was an assurance. Why? Because of relationship. Now, as they got a little older, every now and then, they would bring a friend back with them. And I noticed a couple of times that when the friend came, they came on in, and the friend stood at the door. They weren't quite as bold and quite as confident because, you see, they didn't have the same relationship. And so, you know, I look at them, I say, "Y'all come for candy?" And they look at me, and I say, "Come on in." And they come on in. And you know, once they found out that Pawpaw was their Pawpaw too, hallelujah, and his candy was available to them, when the next time they came after the service, they just walked right in with Jaden and Ava and all of them and just came on in and went straight to the drawer, hallelujah. Why? Because all of a sudden they realized they had access to this good stuff, and it was my will to bless them. See, we have to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father, that He is our God and He is our Father, and it's His desire to bless me. And I can come to Him, and when I pray and bring my desire to Him according to His Word, I believe that I receive what He said I can have, and I begin to thank Him and receive that into my life. Notice in Mark 11:24, He says, "Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Notice He didn't say, "You shall have them and then you'll believe it." Notice He said you have to believe it before you have it. Huh? Let's take the illustration of the grandkids again. They were rejoicing and enjoying the candy on the way. Because they just knew the moment this service is over and I get an escape from children's church, I am going straight to the office and get my candy. And they would talk about what they were going to eat on the way. They would come into the office and say, "Pomp, you still got them suckers?" Okay. There was a joy. They expected to receive something. Amen. And what the Lord is teaching us here is this. He says, when you pray, believe you receive it. Close the deal. "Thank you, Father. I believe I have it." Now, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." What's that mean? That means I have to believe it before I can see it. Some people say, "Well, if I see it, I'll believe it," then you'll never get it. Because the believing comes before the seeing. Amen? You have to come to God believing you receive it. In other words, while every symptom, every circumstance, every attack, the enemy is still in full force, I have to believe that God has heard me and God is working in my behalf. Amen. Notice he said over in Hebrews 4:16. Let me read that to you again in the Amplified, the last part. What did he say here? He said up here, he said, and find grace to help in time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Now, here's the thing you've got to understand, folks. When we ask according to God's will, He hears us. And then He goes on and says, and this is the confidence that if we know that He hears us, we have that which we've asked for. Amen? What's that mean? That means you have to have confidence, an all-outspokenness, an assurance, a boldness that, you know, God heard me. It's getting changed right now. Whether I can see it, whether I can feel it, whether it looks anything, the enemy's still lying to me. I believe God's working in my behalf. And somebody says, well, how can you come up with that? Well, just, you know, don't read it now, but in Daniel's book, when Daniel's recording all the different things, it says in the 10th chapter that Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. 21 days, three full weeks, Daniel fasted, said they ate no pleasant bread. In other words, he didn't just do a full fast, but he fasted certain things. But during that time, he was seeking God. And after 21 days, an angel shows up, and it just, you know, Daniel's almost overwhelmed, and the angel touches him and lifts him up. And you know what the angel said to him? He said, Daniel, you're greatly beloved of God. And from the first day that you set yourself to inquire and receive from God, I was sent with the answer. 21 days, Daniel had to stay in faith and believe that God had heard him. 21 days, Daniel had to stand without any kind of evidence in the natural whatsoever and have confidence that God was going to reward him with the answer. He had to believe that God was working in his behalf without seeing anything, no natural support, no physical feelings, nothing changing around him. Daniel had to believe that God was working in his behalf even though it didn't look like it. That's called faith. Amen? And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you know what you read the 10th chapter of Daniel sometime. And you know what the angel said to Daniel? He said this. He said, I was on my way, but a demon force withstood me. There was a prince of Persia. The demon of Persia, this spiritual being, attacked me and stood against me. In other words, the angel's coming with the answer from God, and here is the devil and his forces trying to stop that answer from getting to Daniel. Folks, I want to ask you something. You think that's changed any today? No, there's still a devil and there's still demons. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6 says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood or contend only with physical opponents, but we contend and deal with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. What are they doing? They're trying to stop God's answers from getting to us. But you know what that angel tells Daniel? He says this, but because of your words, I am here to show you what you asked for. You know what that tells me? Daniel believed he received that first day. Amen? He closed the deal. He didn't pray anymore, but what Daniel did was this. For the next 21 days, he did step three. He refused to worry and held fast his confession of faith. Well, come on. This leads me to step three. What's step three? You have to hold fast your confession of faith if you're going to receive what God said you can have. Why? Because it's what you say after you pray is either going to release it to come to you or hinder it from coming to you. Come on. You cannot pray, and a half hour later, because you don't feel any better, say, well, you know, I thought sure God heard me because I just felt like He heard me, but you know, apparently He didn't hear me because I don't feel any better. You just killed everything you tried to get God to do for you. So what am I going to have to do? Well, look in Philippians, the fourth chapter real quick. Philippians chapter 4. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to do down here in verse 6. Listen to what he says. Be anxious for nothing. Ooh, glory to God. Don't worry about it. Don't sit around trying to figure it out. Don't sit there and be anxious and fretful and worried and concerned what's going on. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, definite requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So what's he saying? Well, look over here in Hebrews chapter 4 again. We looked there earlier. Here's your scripture as far as holding fast. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. You know what that word confession means? Saying the same thing Jesus says. Hallelujah. Now, the reason all of this had to start with the word is because how can you say the same thing Jesus says if you don't know what Jesus says? So you know what your prayer does? It starts with the word and ends with the word. And you stand on the word all through the process. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, before I pray, what am I going to do? I'm going to get in God's word and find out what his will is concerning my situation. I'm going to stay with that word until it comes alive in me. It abides in me. It's not just something that went in one ear and out the other. It's not just something that I heard on Sunday morning, but it's something that I'm going to base my faith on. And once I've got that scripture, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to God in faith based upon what he says. And I'm going to make my request known to him with boldness, with confidence, not arrogance, but with a relational relationship with my Father, that I have received the spirit of adoption where I'm crying out, Abba, Father, he's my God. And I'm going to believe he's going to reward me. I believe God is going to work his word in my life and make it come to pass. Amen? And I'm just going to present that situation to him, and then I'm going to close the deal. And step two, I'm going to believe I receive it done. And I don't have to defend myself to you. You don't look any better, so. Doesn't look like you feel any better, so. Doesn't sound like you've got any more change in your pocket than you had before, so. I don't have to defend myself to you. I don't have to defend my faith to you. You're not the one I'm looking to. God's the one I'm looking to. Amen. And I don't have to explain to you what I'm doing. In fact, I'll be real honest with you. You get around doubters and unbelievers, and the best thing you could do is not try to explain it to them. Because the more you try to explain, the deeper out in muddy water you get. So the best thing to do is this. Say, you know what? According to the word of God, I believe I receive it. I don't have to see it yet because I believe it's coming. Just like that angel was released for Daniel. I don't care how long it takes. God is going to change my situation. I'm going to have what God said I can have. Amen. God is faithful to his word, and he will perform that which he said he would do. He'll confirm his word in my life, and I believe I receive it. Hallelujah. Well, what's your evidence that you have it? Surely you've got to base it on something. I am. I'm basing it on the word of God. Hallelujah. My evidence is the word of God. The word says that by his stripes I was healed. Or the word says that you know, God supplies my need. Or the word says, you know, and you just speak the word. And then what do you do whenever worry tries to hit you? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get an immediate result in your prayer, worry and fear is going to attack your mind. Amen. That's just the way it works. I like to be able to stand here and say, you're delivered from worry. Be good, wouldn't it? But then I'd be a false prophet and you wouldn't be able to let me preach anymore. Praise God. No, you're going to have to deal with worry and fear and anxiety. That's why Peter said, Paul said to the Philippians, he said, don't be anxious. Don't fret. Don't worry. How am I going to deal with that? Well, Matthew chapter 6, what did he say over there? Well, around verse 31, he says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? One translator says, don't worry, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to make it? No, what am I supposed to do? The third thing, I'm going to hold fast my confession of faith. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, I believe I receive it. Thank you, Father. And I'm going to add thanksgiving to it. And here's the thing, folks. If your faith starts to waver, don't pray again. To pray again is telling God you didn't believe he heard you the first time. Well, if I'm not going to pray again, Pastor, what am I going to do? I'm going to strengthen my faith. It's not me praying again that needs to be done. It's me strengthening my faith so that I can stand on the prayer I prayed. Amen. So instead of me praying again, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to the Word. I'm going to get back in the Word. I'm going to talk the Word to myself. Hallelujah. And when the devil tries to say, it ain't working, just turn around to him and say, it is, Mr. Devil. And I'm holding fast my confession of faith in God. God is bigger than you, and God is making this thing come to pass. In fact, there are times I've been praying, and the devil's there aggravating me. Anybody ever had that time, you know? Well, I thought it was a holy place when you go pray. It is, but the devil has access to the throne of God. Yet today, ever read over in Revelation, he's the accuser of the brethren, and he's got access till God kicks him out. Come on, read your Bible. It'll help you. But I've been praying before, and the devil just aggravating you, trying to speak this to you and that to you and this, that, and say, it ain't working. That's why you're not going to get it. I just stopped many times. In fact, the first time it ever happened, I had just gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd gotten Brother Hagin's book on 7 Vital Steps, Receiving the Holy Ghost, read it on June the 7th, 1977. That was a Tuesday. Y'all remember that, don't you? Praise God. Huh? And it was about 20 minutes to 8 o'clock, and I went upstairs in the old farmhouse down in Virginia, Union Hall, where Bonnie grew up. We'd moved back there after we'd graduated from college, and I was in upstairs bedroom reading that book and praying. And I knelt down and did what he said in the book. He said, just kneel down, take a deep breath, pray, and say, I believe I receive the Holy Spirit, and then speak out in the heavenly language he gives you. And so I did that. And well, you know, the first thing you know, the Spirit of God began to move, and I began, and first thing you know, I was praying out in the heavenly language, praying in unknown tongues, just like they did in the book of Acts. And I'd been praying for a couple of minutes, and I heard the devil say this, that ain't God, that's you making that up. But I'd read that the devil is a liar over in John chapter 8, and the father of all lies, and the truth isn't in him. So I just stopped praying in the Spirit for a minute and turned around and said, thank you, Mr. Devil, you're a liar, and if you say I don't have it, then I do have it. So therefore, you're confirmation that I got it, so let's just leave. So I'm going to go ahead and pray in tongues again. And I just went right back to praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you know what I found out? That whenever I resisted him, he just packed up his bag of junk and left. So when you're standing and holding fast your confession and anxiety, fear, or worry tries to attack your mind, you know what you need to do? You just need to stop and say, thank you, Mr. Devil. It must really be close or you wouldn't be here aggravating me like this. I mean, that angel must be right around the corner with my blessing. Hallelujah. And that's why you're fussing, because you're trying to get me to come off of my faith before God can get me my blessing. But I've got news for you. I am not coming off my faith. I'm going to thank God. In fact, instead of doing anything else, I'm just going to begin to thank the Lord and praise him and just confess it's mine and just walk around the house in his peace and thank him and praise him that God is working in my behalf. Hallelujah. And every time you hit me, I'm going to praise him louder. And every time you attack me again, I'm going to praise him louder. And every time you hit me with a symptom, I'm going to praise him louder. And I'm going to confess his word. And I'm going to thank him for hearing my prayers. And I'm going to give him glory. And in the midst of my glory, I'm going to get what I prayed, and God is going to show himself mighty and strong in my life. Hallelujah. Come on, folks, that's praying. And we need to grab a hold of this and change our homes, change our families, change our city, change our nation. But you can't just pray to pray. We have to come before God and believe it's so. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't know if I've helped you or not, but don't preach me happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Ready to swing out over hell on a grapevine and shoot the devil with a water pistol. Amen. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We can do this thing. Grab get you a Bible fly swatter and go after him. Amen. And that's the confidence that we are to have. You're a believer. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You have access to the throne of God 24/7. Let's start taking advantage of it. Amen.